Hello and welcome to a Bird Camp Wonderland, a radio show. Pirate isn't here because he's off nicking someone's washing machine because he's a pirating little shitbag. Oh, disaster. Should we just give up now? Anyway, with us tonight we have got semi-regular Josh. Say hello, Josh.
Hello, Josh.
Hey. We got part-time semi-regular Kyle in sunny Scotland. Say hello, Kyle.
Hey guys, how you doing?
And we have got Mike from Gooners in the USA podcast, which is a very good podcast, which we will no doubt plug a few times during the show. Say hello, Mike.
Hello, Mike. Hello to all you. Thank you, Danny, for having me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It was either you or
or a pile
Andy.
Of shit.
Is it Andy?
Yeah, Andy. He's probably listening right now.
But... neither of you have your names in your Twitter name, so I always have to go and check it and think, oh, who the fuck am I talking to? Yes. Right then, people. Oh, what a disaster.
I like it that way.
What a disaster of a game. 1-0 up, all looking lovely. End up losing 2-1. I don't know why I'm telling you people that. I doubt there's anybody in the chat box that has no reason, no idea what the score was. So we'll start off with Josh. What was your summary of the game?
We had a really good first half. And then, I don't know, we were shit.
There you go.
Just to sum up.
Are you going to add any more to that? Or just like give it to somebody else?
Did you write that yourself? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody plagiarised that shit.
Yeah, no, that's all my own work. but yeah, that is the long and short of what happened, I think. Yeah, it was a pretty awful game for the second half. I don't know what happened in the dressing room at halftime. It appears like there was a rocket going off in one of them. And maybe some light meditation in ours because we came back out and, I don't know, we were so laid back that, yeah, we already had the slippers on. We're sitting by the fire, enjoying Christmas.
Dear, oh dear. Kyle, what's your thoughts on the game?
Oh, I'm fucking fuming, mate. I mean, the reason why I'm so angry about it, because the first half I thought we were really good. And then what do we do? Come into the second half and that, like, and just fucking... I mean, it was right at the start of the fucking first half, we went to sleep and we let Sonny scored. I mean, what? I mean, there was no communication in the back four. None. Fucking hell. Sorry, I'm just so angry because we were really good in the first half. Really good. And I was positive and I was like, okay, we might win this. Start of the second half, we fall fucking asleep. Nobody talking. Everybody goes missing. I mean, the only one that was trying was Koscielny. But they don't talk to each other. They don't. I don't know what's going on. I just it's so gutting because before we played Everton, everything was really positive and we're getting results. And, you know, yeah, we had some dodgy performances, but we didn't lose. But to lose two games in a row, and I don't know what's going on. I really don't. But to be fair, I saw a few of our fans complain about Sonny's goal being offside. I actually was onside, to be fair. Because he was in between two of our defenders. He wasn't behind them. He actually was, and he was on there in time. But just Gabriel and Koscielny, there's no communication. There's no chemistry. I just don't understand why... Oh, God. I just don't get it. And where was that creativity? Sanchez and Alexis went both fucking missing. Just nothing. And Xhaka and Coquelin were acting like they had no idea what they were doing. It was just... With such a talented squad, and you play like that in the second half, just it's not good enough. It's simply not good enough.
Sorry, you've got to be careful that you don't go full AFTV on us because yeah. You're on the verge of a nervous breakdown. You could be a star.
No, I'm all right. It's just I just get frustrated. I don't get angry. I just get frustrated when I see a team play like that. It's just not good enough.
It'll do. It's a fucking disaster, yeah. Mike.
Yeah, yeah. Whose idea is it to do the radio show right after these games like this? I mean,
I'm milking you for all your emotion.
You know, I agree with Kyle. I actually think that the game started going wrong a lot earlier than the beginning of the second half. I mean, the response after the first goal is what I wanted to see the most. Whether you know we would keep pressing because their back four were awful. I mean, they just looked at completely unable to do a thing. And instead of continuing to press and instead of continuing to pressure and add a second, it seemed like we kind of sat back and let them play their game. And they could have scored two or three goals easily in the first half if some of those chances that they had come off. So I think things started going wrong a lot earlier than they did in the Everton game. And the second half, I mean, what did he say at halftime? just let them in. By the way, I do think that the Sané goal was a little bit offsides, but it was razor close. I mean, the feet were pretty even. He was leaning a little bit. I mean, but that, you know, Alexis was 20 yards offsides for one of his goals a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, we can't really complain about that.
They're literally showing it on Sky right now, and he is just offside. But for a linesman to be able to call that, yeah. Damn, the guy's got to be Terminator.
You can't say that's why we lost the game, that's for sure.
No.
Well, a few interesting points from the game. Peter Cech has now gone 8 consecutive Premier League games without a clean sheet for the first time in his career, and that's been a long old career. And we have not had a clean sheet in any of our last 12 games. And our last game that we kept a clean sheet was Reading in the League Cup. But oddly, during September, October, we had 7 clean sheets in 8 games. Josh, any idea what's going wrong?
Well, I would say it's Mustafi coming out, but obviously we haven't kept a clean sheet in 12 games, and he's been there for at least, 8 or 9 of them. So that can't be the problem. I've got a feeling now that we need to be looking at switching Cech out for Ospina and bringing Ospina through as the number one.
Whoa.
Wow.
Don't give out your postcode, for fuck's sake. You'll get murdered. How dare you?
Cech was fucking awful in this game. You know, he's used to being played in front of great defences. So he could either... has two choices: not get beaten at the near post for the first second goal and first goal. Actually, he was beaten at both. And Ospina's shown the Champions League that, yeah, fair enough, he can throw one into his net, but it would generally only be one, not two rickets, which, you know, Petr Cech's made today. And I think it is time for him to sit back, and we should look at bringing Ospina in. Especially for the bigger games.
A lesson to show him that he does have some competition.
Yeah, exactly. He has been a great goalkeeper. There's no putting, you know, two ways about that. But someone's got to be saying to Koscielny or whoever's trying to call that back four to tell him, push the fuck up. Because that was all of the problems in the second half came from us just sitting deep. The fact that we were playing a high line and De Bruyne and Silva couldn't get that ball over the top to Sané and Sterling meant that we were playing really well. But yeah, some of the decisions from that back five were just awful. I don't think Bellerin had a great game, especially with his new haircut that looks like he's just come back from Thailand after finding himself and is now vegetarian.
Did he add hair? Like, I mean, usually when you get a haircut, they remove hair.
I don't know what's going on there, but he certainly found himself, we'll put it that way. But he was awful in this game as well. Just really poor decision-making.
Kyle. Go on, Mike. You're going to say something.
Sorry, I was just going to say, it seemed like on that first goal, Bellerin was just about to start running with Sané until De Bruyne kind of made a move to the outside, and that just froze Hector. He felt he had to get De Bruyne. So is Koscielny's job then to run with Sané, or did they just completely spring it right in the middle of the two guys to be able to get him through? Because Bellerin gave him a look, and then he saw De Bruyne coming to him, and his feet just froze to the ground.
Kyle, what's your thoughts on what Mike just said, and your thoughts on Josh with the Cech might need to be benched for a while?
The Petr Cech thing, I kind of am with Josh on that, because David Ospina has actually played really well in the Champions League, so I have to say he's got a good point there. What Mike said about Hector Bellerin, yeah, Bellerin was poor. And Monreal I thought was poor as well, to be honest with you. I thought they were fine in the first half. But the second half, they just, I don't know what, it's hard to explain. They were just poor. Simple as that. Don't turn up. I mean, how can you play so well in the first half and be in control of the game, second half, I just don't get it. It's so hard to analyse that second half. It was so bad. But but I think Ospina deserves a chance, because Ospina has played really well for us in the Champions League, and he made a lot of magnificent saves in the Champions League games. But yeah, Cech should have saved the second goal. Yes, it was a stunning strike by Sterling, but a top class goalkeeper, you know, that's younger than Cech, I'm pretty sure he would have. You know, keepers that are younger in Czech that are one of the best in the world would have saved that. No doubt about it in my mind. But just the way we defended for the two goals was just absolutely appalling. It was just unacceptable, really. And of course, I don't get it. It's just, I just don't understand you know, we had in the palm of our hands in the first half. Start the second half, we just let them in, back in the game. When Sané scored, that was it. That changed the game completely. So
sadly,
it's sad. Yeah, it's ridiculous. You know what I mean, it's just, how are you supposed to challenge for the title if you play like that? It's not good enough.
That's two games in a row now, Mike. Any thoughts on the starting lineup? Is there anything you would have changed?
Well, they made one change. You know, before the game, and this is obviously before before Chamberlain's injury. I was thinking, you know, is it the worst thing in the world to have two left wingers that both kind of struggle with confidence issues, alternate a run of play every once in a while? I mean, you know, Iwobi seems to have a little bit of his swagger back, a little bit, and that was kind of early in the game before everybody turned to shit in the second half. But, you know, I liked it. I didn't mind the lineup. Of course, I said the same thing before Tuesday night and, you know, screamed out to the world that this was the best lineup we've had all season, and then we went out and shit the bed. So, you know, I think it's the best thing that we have going on right now, other than maybe Lucas starting. I mean, you know, he's got goals in him.
Josh, what thoughts on the lineup and Lucas? Why is he not getting a game when he's you score a hat trick for your club, and especially in a competition like the Champions League? If you scored in the League Cup, then maybe not. But if you score a hat trick in the Champions League, which I think maybe only six or seven Arsenal players have ever done, why isn't he getting a game, especially when we need a goal?
Yeah, it does seem an odd one about what's going on with Lucas. I didn't see the Everton game midweek, so I'm not really sure in terms of how everyone played in that game versus what the starting lineup was. So I was a bit like, well, that's fine. It's the standard lineup for an Arsenal game at the moment, is that starting 11. I'd have thought maybe Giroud could have come in. But again, without seeing the Everton game, can't really say whether or not he would have made a decent difference. He should have come on earlier, but Lucas coming in, then yeah, maybe over at Iwobi, or definitely not Walcott, because Pep Guardiola shits kittens when he's up against Theo Walcott. So that's absolutely fine for him to start. But yeah, he's not going to dispose Alexis. It's got to be whoever's out on the left wing. And I don't think having a left-footed player out on the left wing would have helped us, because we're not going to put crosses in for Alexis.
No, a bit pointless, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kyle, your thoughts on that?
I was,
and maybe what does Lucas have to do to actually get a game?
I don't know. Maybe be a impact sub if we brought, but we don't bring him on. You know, I mean, I was a bit surprised at that. I thought I can't see Gabriel becoming a first team centre back at our club. He just poor. I do feel bad for Lucas, because I actually thought he looked really good against Bale. Really good. He looked up for it. But the fact we didn't bring him on is just very bizarre. I thought we could have brought him on instead of Chamberlain and gave him a shot and see what he can do. But no, didn't happen. You know, it's very, very odd to leave on the bench, especially after that performance against Bale before the Everton game. But it's very odd. You know what I mean? Because we actually thought we bought him to be a wide forward. Because a lot of our fans, including myself, are saying, why not? If we can't find a top striker, why not buy a wide forward? And I thought that's what he was going to be. But we haven't seen that so far, which is just really odd and strange.
I think he can play in any one of the front four positions. Mike, before we get on to the actual first goal from Theo, what do you reckon to the Coquelin-Xhaka partnership in the centre of midfield? That's now three games in a row they've started together. Is it working?
Well, I mean, considering our best midfield player today was probably Mikel Arteta.
Looking like a nice form on the bench for Man City. Well, on the manager's part, not because he's not a player, is he?
It didn't work today. You know, I don't know what the better combination would be at the moment, with Ramsey out and with Elneny just not working with Coquelin. You know, why Elneny came in instead of Lucas when Chamberlain got hurt is beyond me. I mean, I think you've got to keep it consistent in the middle. And I've said for a while that I think that the right combination is Xhaka and Coquelin. They're just, you know, the link up with Ozil is just not working as it was earlier this season right now. But I think you have to, you know, not be tinkering with, unless you've got somebody coming in January. But I mean, I think it's the best two that we've got.
You mentioned there that why did he bring on Elneny and not Lucas? Personally, well, I'd have liked to see Lucas come on and play on the left, and then maybe Sanchez play like big man, little man out front with Giroud just to get that goal, just pile it all forward. You're never going to get much of a goal threat from Elneny, especially now that he's been told not to shoot. How would you have played the formation if you would have brought on Lucas for him rather than Elneny?
Well, it's almost a like for like with Ox coming in for Iwobi, then himself getting hurt, coming out, and I would have placed Lucas up there on the left. I mean, Lucas has shown that he can send in a cross, and with Giroud in the game at that point, Lex is kind of withdrawing a little bit further back into the midfield. I think that would have been the right place to put him.
So, where would you positionally? Where would you have put Sanchez?
Wherever he wants to go.
Let him be a free spirit.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be where he prefers to play anyway. I mean, you could, at that point, you're behind 2-1 and really not showing a lot of creativity. So let him freewheel it a little bit. Doesn't have to fit into a specific location, because otherwise you've got to do something with Walcott if you put him out on the right.
True. Josh, what's your thoughts on that?
Sorry, I was just listening to Arsene talking.
I was tempted to do that as well. He's just been talking. Yeah. What was Arsene saying?
It's got to be more interesting than I was.
Hey, don't say that.
I don't want to say that. I was half listening to both of you and kind of missed all of it. So, I don't know. It was the normal kind of stuff that it's just been a poor week for us. So,
you want me to try to imitate him in my accent?
Well, at least he's been honest, which is good to see.
Yeah, we've had a poor week.
I mean, I'm just gutted because... When we brought in Mustafi and Lucas Perez and Xhaka, I was really positive this season. Then we come up with this shit. It's just so annoying. It's just like, when does the Groundhog Day ever end? You know, I know it's still December, but
it has been heading this way for a few games now. I mean, that's back to back defeats, both games that we were 1-0 up. We'll move on to start the beginning of the game. While I've got you here, Carl. First goal, it went Cech, Bellerin, Sanchez, and then Theo. And I rewound it and counted. From the moment Cech released the ball to the moment Theo put it in the back, and it was about 12 and a half, 13 seconds. And also a goal from Theo that he took his time over. That's got to be a good thing, hasn't it? I mean, we can't be all doom and gloom.
I felt Theo did well in the first half, struggled in the second half, but it was good to see him play well in the first half. I just think it's a real shame we didn't repeat that performance in the second half. You know, because the start of the second half, we looked really in control, and their back four was horrible in the first half, really poor. And the fact we couldn't beat them with them back four so limited is such a shame, because they were, I mean, we could all say these teams are there for the taking, but we've seen this before, like Old Trafford last season, for example, when Man United were there for the taking. We just make it so hard for ourselves, you know. And like you said, that Walcott goal was very good, and it was very good. But the fact we couldn't create chances like that in the second half or for the rest of the first half, it's just worrying.
Mike,
it's like there's no consistency there.
Mike, what's your thoughts on Theo's goal? Is that something that's warmed the cockles of your heart? Is that something we can grab hold of too, as the Arsenal ship is sinking down the Premier League table?
At the moment, it warmed all of the cockles it needed to warm. It's another example of Alexis playing up top, but then kind of retreating a little bit to accept a pass, getting behind the front line, and someone else running into his position. We've seen Ozil do that and get some of the goals this season, and Theo's done it. So we got winger Theo now drifting into the number nine position temporarily, which is better than permanently. You know, Alexis with another assist. I think he's got 6 assists this season, which is somewhere, you know, maybe second in the league or something right now. So it was beautiful. I mean, it was a great start and against the run of play to that point. But where was that beyond the 5th minute of the game?
Yeah, exactly. Well, where was that in the second half? I mean, we didn't even have a chance in the second half. There was no creativity. And I'm like, what the earth is going on? What's going on? How did we play so bad in the second half? It's unbelievable.
On the US television feed, Robbie Musto, who's in the studio, said that Arsenal do a very good job of mitigating their own strengths, which I think is... pretty fancy way of saying that we're bottling it, he's right. I mean, we see what's working, we pull it off, and then we stop doing it.
Yeah,
Josh. Hey there, Josh.
Yeah, it was like that scene in Space Jam where suddenly all the players' powers. I assume that's what happened at halftime, because it was so Jekyll and Hyde that whole halftime window, because the midfield just completely dropped off. Obviously, because we'd have quite good luck during the game that with Czech. I'm not going to bemoan his distribution today because the distribution that he was putting out was a tactic, which was to make sure that our centre-backs didn't get pressed by just pinging the ball into the midfield and winning the second ball, which we were doing in the first half. And then in the second half, Yaya Touré's decided that, you know, he's going to put his finger out of his ass and might win a second ball every so often.
That's what I've actually made a note here. But Yaya Touré, we need a charity telethon to help him get new knees. Amazing how a player can become so poor and then just turn it on when he wants.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's our game to rehabilitate players who have been lost before. I mean, we're the horse placenta of the Premier League right now because I mean, Sané gets his first goal against us. Rashford last year, Sterling pulls one out after 8 games without scoring. I mean, why is it our job to get all these guys new contracts?
But even in that, still Bravo was shit. Because normally goalkeepers can have absolute worldies against
us.
Horrible
goalkeeper.
UC Escalina made a career out of it.
Yeah. You've got to put some shots on him and see.
Yeah.
Well, on another
we didn't even press him in the second half, which is annoying. I mean, it's just... Speaking of Space Jam, I thought Gabriel reminded me of Daffy Duck in that second half. Sorry, I know it's harsh, but that's just what you reminded me of. It was unbelievable.
See, I thought Gabriel had a great game. I thought he had a really good game. I don't like him on that side of the defence because he's not very good as that centre-back. He's better at covering Koscielny and then having someone like Mertesacker holding or Mustafi there.
But Josh, do you not think he looked better in the right-back position? Because I thought he was quite good at right-back, you know, when Bellingham was out.
I did. He was. It's a bit like putting Monreal there, but it's something very different playing with which side you've got a defender on. Because if you in that position, he's then got a defender to his left and to his right. Well, not to his right. He's just got the end of the pitch. There's one thing he's got to think about. But
Do you think the problem with Gabriel is his non-communication with the players? Because it seems he struggles to communicate with the rest of our defence. That's what I see from him. It's like he's confused and he's trying to speak to our players, but there's just no response. I do feel bad for the guy. He is trying, but it's not happening for him.
I think the rest
of the team needs to learn Portuguese because he's obviously not going to learn English.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. I think he knows English, and he's just really, really quiet. He's just a quiet guy.
Yeah.
If you've watched any interviews or any time he's on, like Arsenal player with all the guys doing various challenges, like flipping water bottles or, I don't know, trying to hit cows' asses with banjos, then he's just a massive
introvert. I hate to say this, but the way Gabriel is playing right now is reminding me of Vermaelen. I don't mean in a bad way because I liked Vermaelen, but Vermaelen was absolutely awful in his last 2 years at Arsenal. That's what Gabriel was starting to remind me of, and it's sad.
That was another one where Vermaelen played very well on the same size defence as Koscielny plays in, and he's just they're not compatible in that position. I hate to bring his name up on a Arsenal podcast, but John Terry can only play at left side centre back. They've tried it on right side and he just gets found out. He's just centre backs is a weird thing about where they can can't play on which side they prefer to turn and which side they prefer to tackle. And Gabriel's got that problem that we're not playing him in his best position.
Yep.
Talking of the defenders, just looking at the number of tackles today, at half time we had the most number of tackles. We were doing quite well. At the end of the game, it's 18 for Man City, it's 15 for us. And our player that got the most number, well, there was actually Monreal, Koscielny, Gabriel, Bellerin all got 2 tackles in each. And then on the Man City side, Fernando, who I think he did a pretty decent job of replacing Fernandinho in that hole. He got 3 tackles in, and Touré got 3 tackles in. That's something that if you had told me before, I'd have said that was unbelievable. But try and be a little bit more positive again, because it's not the end of the world. Not many teams will go to Man City and smash them. Did Leicester go there? Was it Leicester at Man City, or was it at Leicester?
No, that was at the Leicester Stadium.
Oh, yeah. Good. So my point might stand. There are not many teams are going to go there and beat Man City. But when you go there and you are 1-0 up at halftime, you should have done a better job we did. But 30th minute, Gabriel, this is almost comical. Gabriel clears the ball. It hits Bellerin, comes looping back over Gabriel's head, and then Cech manages to see it. Luckily, he hadn't turned around to go get a water bottle. So Cech saved it. Does that count as a shot on target for Man City? And does that give you any confidence in Cech, Josh? Because you're saying that Cech should be sold, should be beaten.
Get him out.
Yeah. So does that make you feel good about Cech?
Well, that he paid attention enough to see what was an aggressive pass back, we'll go with.
Well, no, a lot of goalkeepers, you can see them doing that. And as soon as they got rid of the ball, they'll be texting their mum or doing selfies in the crowd or some old shit like that. But I was quite
going for a piss behind the hoarding if we look at our previous German goalkeeper.
Oh, that was brilliant. If people haven't seen that, Jens Lehmann, when he went left as and went back to play in Germany, was it? He was playing Stuttgart.
Yeah.
And he needed a piss, and he just went. He kicked the ball out and didn't kick the ball out of touch, kicked the ball into the game and went off for a piss.
He almost went full Jason Punchin that time.
Yeah.
Yes. So, Mike, what was your thoughts of that incident? Could have gone all Arsenal for us. That could have gone in the back of our net, and we could have been. Well, that would have made it 1-1. I think. Yeah, it was 1-0 at that time. What were your thoughts about that thing? Because I thought that was pretty impressive, but Josh seems to not care.
I mean, I'm not so sure that it was an amazing world-class save by any stretch. You're right. That's the type of thing with Almunia in the game. That would have been in the goal for sure. Maybe if it had hit off of Gabriel's face instead of Bellerin's, it would have come off a lot harder and been a tougher save. But I'm not ready. I'm not as ready as the other two to switch up the goalkeeping in the Premier League. But if we're judging that by whether Cech can save a ball off of Bellerin's face, then maybe maybe I'm looking better on that.
Okay. But, right. Then we're winning at halftime. You think, well, we're 1-0 up. We're away from home. We're going to come out the second half. Wenger's going to say to the lads, look, right, we're going to go defensive. Keep the ball. Don't give it away. Don't let them pressurise us. And they come straight back out, 47th minute. Forgot.
Complete opposite.
Didn't write down the... where is it? It's on here. Where is it? Oh, David Silva, who I think had a fantastic game.
Yeah, he was good.
He's old. And I think he's not even playing in his usual position. So he put the ball through and Sane scored in the 47th minute. And that's the beginning of the collapse. What was your thoughts about that, Carl?
Yeah, I mean this game actually reminded me when we lost to Man United 2-1 in November 2014, like we were favourites to win the game and then we throw it away. That's what this game was like. We just dropped physically, you know, and we just let Man City in the game and they took advantage of that. It's just so disappointing to see.
Did you get the feeling that our players weren't ready? Because not one of them appealed after us, and not one of them had that. If in the old days, I know we always talk about the old days, but in the old days, the whole back four, their arms would have been straight up in the air, and then the linesman would have gone, well, something's going on. But they all just seemed to stand there. I mean, we were talking before it started that it did look a little bit offside, but if you had all the players in a row like that, the linesman was slightly that side, so all he could see. And our player that almost put him onside was Bellerin's back leg. And so from the angle he was looking at, it's just so hard for the linesman. But what could we do about that? Not much we could do, is there?
Yeah.
We weren't ready for it. We come out cold and they come out and went, right, that's it. We're on this straight away. 2 minutes in the second half and it's 1-1.
We should have been ready for it. I mean, at the end of the day, if you want to compete for the Premier League, you've got to be ready for these type of games. You've got to be. And if you're not, then that's what you get. You know, it's just not good. It's just really disappointing. And I just don't understand it, because when we added Mustafi and Xhaka, I mean, I know Mustafi's out injured, which doesn't help, which is a shame because he's been brilliant this season. But I was thinking that maybe we've got a bit of steel in our team for once, but we just seem to have the same old problems again and again and again every year. And it's just gotten, because a lot of people said to me, this is probably your strongest squad in like 8 years. And I agree with that. But we still have the same issues. And it's just really questionable at this point. You know, that's what I find very frustrating. It's just such a shame, because we've got a squad that's it's got potential to compete to the end of the season, but we just seem to throw away so easily. And it's just not good enough.
Mike, beginning of the show, Josh was saying that we weren't pushing up enough. I mean, for them to have an almost off-target decision on the edge of our 18-yard box, is that something that... Oh, I don't even know how to try and describe what the problem is. But just obviously, they weren't ready. It must have been a minute and a half into the second half. And it looked like they hadn't had any communication. We were saying earlier that Gabriel is a bit quiet and doesn't talk to his players, and there's the language barrier. But surely when you got the rest of them, something that shouldn't be happening so soon into the beginning of the second half, should it?
No, and my recollection was that was a little, quite a bit much further up the field than right outside our 18. It's probably more...
Am I making it worse for myself? Am I imagining that it was there and it wasn't?
There was a lot of room behind us for Sané to run into, as I recall. But I mean, the issue to me was, and I don't remember if I said this already, but I mean, that Bellerin would have gone with Sané on that run if De Bruyne had.
He wasn't there. You know,
Kevin De Bruyne just kind of started running to the outside, and Bellerin decided to leave it to his center backs, and neither of the center backs picked up Sané. Whether they thought they had played him off sides or whether they thought that Bellerin was going with them, I don't know. But that communication, and you just got to be ready for that. I mean, they do have speed up front, and they used it against us.
Just makes me wonder if they'd have had Aguero fit. They would have absolutely murdered us today. Josh, what was your thoughts on the first goal?
Their first goal?
Yeah.
I think we've said the centre-backs just weren't, or the defence weren't cynical enough to, even if they thought he was onside, just sticking their arm up in the air, one or two of them, gives the linesman, you know, he has to doubt himself.
Oh, there's a chance just rewound it. Fucking hell, it's nowhere near the 18-yard line. It's halfway, halfway between the halfway line. Yeah.
It's about 35 yards out.
You caught me the one time I was actually paying attention to the game to correct you.
Yeah, it does. It's very,
to be
very
fair,
safe.
He was definitely onside. He definitely was onside, because I paused it in the replay at that half time, and it was definitely onside, to be fair.
How could I have got
it's
that
debatable.
So wrong?
Yeah, it's so I think close. I think if the defenders put his arm up and tried to call it, then the linesman gives it. But because they put their arms down, just try to catch a guy that they're not going to catch in 100 years. Then.
So do we blame Wenger for not telling them to cheat at halftime by lifting their arms up? I mean, is that our new strategy?
Well, that's more game management, isn't it?
The players should have defended a lot better than that. Plain and simple. Yeah. They should have defended a lot better than that. Yeah. It was just poor, you know.
Well, I'm just looking at the replay here, and the moment that Silva releases the ball, they've done a white line at the back of our furthest back player is Bellerin, and the white line is at the back of his foot. And at that moment, Sane's foot is over that white line. So, I mean, it's so hard to judge at the exact point that when you release the ball and when you've let go of the ball or when you're just moving with the ball, because it's such a fine line. But I would say that definitely...
Yeah, but it's not his standing foot that's there. So that's what makes it a really hard decision for the linesman to give, because it's his not standing foot that's offside.
I thought
it
was
only by millimetre. It was only a millimetre.
Well, I thought
it was offside, but not enough to to cry about. I mean,
I know
offside. That's not why we lost.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm not a type of fan that goes on about referees and linesmen. I'm just not like that. But I thought it was onside, me personally.
And how close all three of our central three players, and how close they're all bunched together as well. Yeah. I mean, they were excellent.
Yeah, they look like they just fell asleep, man. They just fell
That's
asleep.
That's more worrying.
It is worrying.
Having three defenders within, 2 yards squared of each other?
Or I'd say 3 inches
on top of each other.
Measurements.
They were playing Twister.
Yeah, exactly. See,
if we had Keon and Dixon and Adams in the coaching team, they would have hung those guys by the fucking bollocks at half time. They would have, you mean, because that was unacceptable.
Well, Wenger doesn't like anybody else having much of a say in tactics,
does
he?
No, he's too stuck when it comes to things like that, unfortunately.
You say that, but I was reading Ian Wright's book last week, and he was saying it was Pat Rice that was the bad cop, and just getting in there and basically grabbing the team by the bollocks for the last 10 minutes of 5 minutes of half-time and telling them where to go. Whether or not Steve Bould's not doing that. maybe that's the difference that we've seen.
I'm surprised he's not, because he's one of our best defenders we've ever had. You know what I mean, he was a tough son of a bitch on the pitch. Why does he not just go up to him and tell him, look, you got to defend better than that. If you don't defend better than that, you're gonna concede. It's bizarre.
I've got the second goal queued up, ready, so I can't fuck it up. Right, also, I made other notes during the game. 58th minute, but we're losing battles all over the pitch. This is going to end up in tears. And then the Ox came on for a Iwobi, and I was thinking, well, at last, we've got some attacking prowess down the left-hand side, although the Ox isn't left-footed. He still is brilliant down that side. And I always, sadly for the Ox, I think he is better when he comes on as a sub rather than when he starts the game. Mike, what's your thoughts on Iwobi and bringing Ox on for him? Any idea of what the injury was? Or no one knows yet.
For Ox, his injury? I mean, they said it's a hamstring.
For fuck's sake.
Or a hamstring. Don't know whether that's a 3-weeker or an 8-weeker, but...
6 months if it's us.
Yeah, well, I mean, that obviously may give some of our Lucas questions and maybe our Welbeck questions a quicker answer. But, given that those two are becoming a little more interchangeable in the starting lineup, it seemed kind of like an obvious fresh legs to bring on. Fresh, soon-to-be-injured legs to bring on. So I had no problem with the substitute, of course. Would have liked to have seen the change of shape, change of focus a little bit earlier, but it seemed like the right thing to do. But obviously he didn't warm up his hamstrings enough.
No, didn't we have this in the League Cup where both him and Walcott both got injured coming on?
Oh, yeah, the Sheffield Wednesday match.
Yeah, that was it.
That was shambolic.
Josh, what's your thoughts on the substitution and Wobi's performance overall? Does it worry you?
I'll start with Iwobi. He had a brilliant first half. There was a reason why Zabaleta came off at halftime, and it wasn't because he was injured.
He's inside out.
He was absolutely destroyed. And then you bring on a man who, you know, we'd have a pretty good right-back cover if we still had Bakary Sagna at the club. And would Bellerin be the player he was if we still had Sagna? Probably not. The guy can still play. And come on and just nullified Iwobi. That's all he's done. He's just done what could have happened and should have happened. The guy ran out of steam, but probably wouldn't have been the sub I would have made at that time. I think at that time we were losing a lot of battles in the air and we just couldn't get the ball out. So we needed to get Giroud there, a little higher up, a target man for our centre-backs just to twat the ball to just get it away and, you know, hold up the play. From there, so I would actually have probably taken off Theo at that time because Theo had disappeared.
And how would you have shuffled the front side around? Put Sanchez on the right, or
I'd just put Alexis out where Theo was. Alexis can play wherever across that front three. I don't think he's better or worse anywhere. And the guy can put in a cross, so it's not too bad putting him over there.
I mean, to bring Giroud on with 15 minutes to go, that's almost pointless. If you're Giroud, that's got to make you so bloody angry. I mean, I know he's done it a few times this season. He's come on as a substitute and he's helped us out immensely. Carl, what was your thoughts on what Giroud did in the short amount of time that he had? Because if I'm looking at the Opta stats, they've given Giroud a 6.0. I mean, this is from whoscored.com, and so I don't know how they get there, make their stats out, whether what the criteria is for doing that. But he didn't have any time to do much, did he?
No, he got no service whatsoever. I thought we should have brought him on earlier. I thought we should have brought in Lucas Perez instead of Elneny or Chamberlain. And maybe we could have had hope, but unfortunately we didn't get that. But yeah, Wenger's got a terrible habit leaving his subs quite late, sadly, a lot.
Has he explained
sometimes
that?
It works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's a difficult situation, but it's really annoying.
You're saying, Mike?
Has he explained or ever been asked to explain why he virtually never brings a sub on until the 70th minute?
No.
There was a
book explained it
by a super agent who he was on TalkSport, and I think he did the Executive Box Wankers podcast, and he says in the book that Wenger does it for bonus reasons. Now, this is probably bullshit, but he brings it on after a certain time. Yeah. Josh?
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure that's bullshit. Again, going back to Ian Wright's book, he said the reason why he brings sub on so late is because he thinks that starting 11 that he's put out is the team that can win it. And the subs that he's bringing on aren't to necessarily change the game because he believes in his system.
Hmm.
So there's no realization then that things aren't going according to plan.
Yeah.
Stick to saying
that, that's into the second half.
Yeah, saying that, that's Wenger from, what, 10, 15 years ago. The guy's changed. He's probably taken some of that on board since Ian Wright's been in that dressing room. But I'm pretty sure the logic is still there, that he's only replacing players like-for-like substitutions due to the fact that they're probably blowing out their arse at that time, like Iwobi.
You say you're reading Ian Wright's book. Is this his second autobiography, or is it a revamp of the first?
Second. Second. I've got his first one.
My
I've
Life in Football.
Good.
His first
one's
good.
So how does the first one differ from the second one, or vice versa?
I haven't read the first one, so I can't tell you.
I've only read the first one. Have you read them both, Cole?
I've only read the first one. It's really good.
It's really Mike, good. Have you read either?
I haven't learned how to read yet.
You just colour them
in with crayons. It's an audiobook as well.
I need to pick up his second one at some point.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm
not really reading much out from the chat window because I'm tweeting and I'm producing and I'm hosting badly, and so I've only got one set of eyes. But Josh Kakalaka Lucas says, Iwobi had a brilliant first half, then just completely fell off in the second half. If he wants to keep that spot in the squad, he's got to, in capital letters, build up that endurance. Now, that is something that Lord Hillwood, our very own Steve, brings up quite a lot, and quite a few other people do. Is that something that he will build up and learn over time? Because I remember when young players burst into the first team, which very rarely happens to Arsenal at the moment, they will run for 90 minutes for game after game after game, like Sanchez does. Mike, you got any thoughts on that?
Well, it seems to happen to him every single game. I mean, I don't know if he's put in a full 90 minutes in any game this season yet. Part of it's the position he plays. The subs seem to come from the wing players and the midfielders. But, clearly he's got to improve his fitness, because there is a different Alex Iwobi in the 72nd minute of a game than you see in the 22nd minute of the game. He was brilliant today in the first half. I thought whatever rest and off time he had after the tougher November games, where he seemed to really have kind of lost his way, he seems to have gotten a little bit of his mojo back. But the mojo only lasts as long as his legs do, and they're gone after about 60 or 70 minutes.
I'm just checking on transfermarket.co.uk. Premier League, the most he has played is around about late 60s. He's done that for 77 minutes against Hull. But in the Champions League, he has played 90 minutes for PSG in the first game, and the last game of the group against Basel, he played 90 minutes there. But it looks like most of the time he's playing about 70 minutes. But that's those last 20 minutes in the game are the crucial point in the game, where a speedy, tricky winger can make all the difference, isn't that right? To me, yes, it is. Yeah, I don't know why I said, isn't that right?
Yeah, but to be honest, Iwobi coming off, I don't know if you should read into that much, because that's the only place at the moment where we've got cover in the squad.
Yeah.
It's an obvious substitution, but it also, to bring on fresh legs, to bring on a speedster like Chambo. But, it'd be nice to know that he isn't going to start declining gradually in those 70 minutes, and to where at the 70th minute he's completely gone.
Sadly true. Right, Josh, if you can have a look in the chat window and get people's questions. I'm just going to go over the last goal and then we'll go to people's questions. So you can put them in our chat window. Or you can email them to me or post them to me, or carry a pigeon, that will do. Right, final goal of the game. This is the one that killed it for me. I thought, well, maybe 1-1 draw. It's not too bad getting an away point. And then I thought, nah, fuck it, we're going to lose this. And then they did. 71st minute. I keep wanting to say Warrell Sterling. I'm old enough to remember Warrell Boogie Eye Sterling at Watford and Peterborough. Raheem Sterling, that's it. He runs down the right-hand side and he decides to try and teach Monreal a lesson. I'm just looking at it here, so I'll commentate as it's going across. And he goes down the left-hand side. It's a ball from I don't know where, but it bounces a few times. And then Monreal runs towards him in the edge of the box. And then he just does his magic trickery, two-footed nonsense, sends him a dummy one way, then as it sprints off away from the goal. And then it's got it paused right here. Monreal goes to make a tackle, and then in an angle like this, and then Koscielny is that way. He's walking away from the ball. Now, I think he's expecting him to run across the front of Koscielny, but he doesn't do it. And then he just has a shot. I mean, that if you'd have to get one of those things for measuring the Hadron Collider to try and the kind of gap that Sterling managed to put that ball between Monreal's foot and the front of Monreal's foot and the back of Koscielny's foot, it was literally like that. Oh, Kyle, what's your thoughts on the goal? Were we just unlucky?
No, I thought Monreal was really poor for that goal. I don't know what the hell he was trying to do. I thought we let Sterling in there far too easily. It was just, again, it's the lack of communication with our players in defence. You know, and that's the problem. I mean, I said it at half time when I was saying to myself, you know, why isn't our back four not talking to each other? Why are they not, you know, talking to each other when we got set pieces? Or, you know, it's just, again, it's lack of communication. And we've had this problem for years now. But when Sterling came in, we, you know, most of our players just stood there. And Monreal was like, he had no idea how to respond. You know, that's how it happened. It was just bad defending yet again. And I don't understand it because we actually, the thing that's frustrating, Danny, is we actually did, I thought we defended really well in that first half. Really well. But it was just completely different. It's just really, really just poor overall. You know, it's just,
not wrong.
We should have defended those two. I mean, yes, they were two good goals, but we should have defended them a lot better, surely.
Talking about the lackluster defending, I'm just looking at a replay. As Sterling comes in and he has that shot, we've got, it looks like Gabriel there and maybe Xhaka there, and Silva just walks between the two of them and they both stand there. And then I thought at first, the first couple of times, that maybe it could have been offside because Silva was blocking Cech's view. There is some kind of football rule on that. I can't remember what it is, but it's not. He's nowhere near him. He's coming across on this side. From the moment the ball is released, he's nowhere near him. But it's just amazing how Gabriel and it looks like Xhaka, I can't really make out the other player, are just standing there. Josh?
Yeah, so annoying.
Sorry, he broke up.
He's typing. I'm talking about the Sterling goal, the way that Monreal didn't shut him down and the way that Koz has turned his back to him and he managed to get the ball through a microscopic gap. And then the Silva runs in between our last two defenders and those two defenders are just standing there looking at him. What was your thoughts on the goal?
So Sterling was, I wouldn't say incredibly clever, but relatively so, to change what he was doing, because for the rest of the game previous, he's been cutting in, looking for the cross constantly. And the one time he then doesn't, and he's gone in, cut inside, and it's just taken Monreal by surprise. But then that's where you should be hoping that one of our centre-backs comes in and nullifies the threat, so to speak. And then for Petr Cech to get hit and done on the near post is just crazy. It's stupid. Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
The keeper is the only person at fault if it goes in at the near post, really.
But Josh, do you not think Monreal was at fault for that? Because I thought he fell asleep there. I thought he let Sterling in there far too easily.
Yes and no. Like, there's quite a few mistakes that leads to that goal. Obviously, the initial mistake is Monreal's, but then you've got Koscielny's mistake where Sterling gets past him, and then you've got Petr Cech's mistake of not being to get down to the.
I do agree though. Petr Cech should have saved that. He really should have. If you had somebody that was younger in Czech, that was more quality in Czech, I'm pretty sure that keeper would have saved it.
You think Ospina being 4 or 5 inches shorter, Ospina, you think he would have gotten to that one?
Yeah, he's closer to the ground to start with.
Maybe.
So quicker starting position.
Maybe, yeah.
I'll put my mum in goal, then she's only 4'10".
Czech is aging. I think next season, though, we need to get a young goalkeeper because Petr Cech is not going to get any younger. You know what I mean? I think it would be too risky. To rely on him.
We've got Emi Martinez
and Chesney.
Yeah, that's true.
Sliding around. So
and Martinez has just signed a new contract with us.
Yeah.
But we'll have a look. I've got
Chesney.
What about Chesney? Oh, I'm not sure about Czech. That.
I don't think Chesney's attitude. I think it's disgraceful.
The ball would have bounced off of his pack of cigarettes that was put in front of the goal. And
He's like the David Luiz of goalkeepers, isn't he? He's fine until he gets bored. Yeah. And then you've
it's
got
a shame because he's got potential. It's a shame because he's got so much potential, right? But his attitude is stinking. It really is.
But they're talking about maybe getting resting Cech. Cech's 34. He's for goalkeepers. That's almost in the prime of their career. I mean, you look at the likes of someone mentioned Oliver Kahn in the chat window, who is a German and Bayern Munich legend, and Gian Luigi Buffon, who is still one of the greatest goalkeepers in the world, even with his porn star moustache. At 34, I just think maybe it's the constant chopping and changing in front of Cech. isn't really good for him. Maybe he doesn't. There's other stuff going on, but I'd like to see Holding. Not that Gabriel did much wrong today, but I'd love to see Holding getting a few more games next to Koscielny, because Holding is a vastly more intelligent footballer than I think Gabriel ever would be, as Gabriel's shown over the years that he's been.
Yeah. I think the problem is we're missing Mustafi badly, because he's been brilliant this season for us.
Yes. And he wasn't even brought in as first team, was he? He was brought in as third
we
choice.
We say we're missing Mustafi. We haven't kept a clean sheet in 12. Mustafi's been in that defence. Of course, there are a couple that you go, fair enough, we were 3-0 up at the time and they've just switched off. I can think of a couple of like the Basel game where Koscielny
just think if we had him, we might have got a point today if we had him. I'm just thinking about that. But in saying that, though, it's no excuse, because our forward players, our creativity players, should have done a lot better. I mean, Ozil was just so bad in the second half. It was quite a shame to see. I'll be honest with you. I mean, people were saying on social media, Ozil's been poor in the last two games. I say Sanchez has been crap as well. I'm sorry, but he was terrible in that second half and against Everton as well. Did absolutely nothing in both second halves and games. Nothing.
Talking of Sanchez, the last note I've made on my piece of digital paper is Sanchez on his knees! Exclamation mark. Yeah. Mike, what was your thought? Did you see that? What was your thought to that? And does it worry you the fact that Ozil is just not up for the big games and Sanchez seemed to be distraught by the end of it?
Yeah, well, I mean, Sanchez wears his emotions on his sleeve. So, I mean, he can be ecstatic and he can be exasperated and you're going to see it. Whereas Mesut a little bit more stoic, and you're not necessarily going to see a show of emotion like that. But I mean, Alexis took a knock late in the first half, which was a little concerning to me. And I mean, how do we know how much that was affecting him in the second half, as far as his effectiveness is concerned? I mean, I actually at one point in the second half had to look back at the substitutions to see if he had been subbed out, because I thought I might have missed something.
Yeah, that point that I said that Sanchez was squat down on his knees, just looking like that. The game hadn't even ended. I think they had a free kick, or there'd been a foul or a booking. I know Gabriel maybe got a late booking, or no, it might have been Elneny. It was one of those two got a late booking, and it's just like he'd given up. Josh, have you managed to find some questions? Oh, bloody hell, you have. Right, do you want to read out some of the questions, Josh, rather than me having to do it? It's your handwriting.
Oh, God. Let me see if I can read.
You start with any of the questions you like while I'm just watching the NFL. Well done to Miami Dolphins last night. Hell of a fucking game.
I won't even go into my NFL team, they're doing shit, but at least I got rid of their coach.
You're an LA fan?
Yes.
At least you're not following a team that has a completely racist name, so.
In your country, give it 5 minutes, they'll change it and say, that's no longer racist, something else is.
Right, so I'll go with from Turnip Surprise 88.
Turnip Surprise?
Yeah.
Is that a Blackadder reference?
Sounds delicious.
Work rate and effort has been a massive problem in recent games. Are training methods to blame, or does the manager have a problem getting the team fired up for the game?
Who would you like to answer that? Not me.
Or go to Carl.
Oh, I think it's the players not showing up. You know, I mean, yes, you can criticise the manager for that, of course, but you've got to criticise the players for not turning up as well. You know, I think it's all a team game. You know, you can't just have a scapegoat. You know, you got to look at all of them. You know what I mean? I mean, it could be. I mean, speaking of the training thing, I mean, well, why do we keep getting so many injuries every year as well? I think that's causing the problem too. Because if you look at last season, the Saint Cazor got injured, we collapsed. He got injured again, and we're collapsing so far. And Mustafi as well doesn't help. That's the problem as well. But the players should be showing up. They should be, in this especially in this type of game. I mean, after the Everton game, you know, if we beat Man City and get a good result there, that Everton result will be forgiven. But the fact that we didn't turn up in this big game today, that was a must-win for us to keep up, for me, it's inexcusable. So, for me, it's the players and the manager have all got to blame for it, because it's a one-team game. You know, you can't just have a scapegoat at the end of the day. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, you do have a point. Now, for you, Josh, because you're going to read out the next question for Mike. Oh, bloody, let's move up the screen. Forker Football has asked, if we rest Ozil, who would you play in, or not you, he hasn't asked for you, but you can answer, who would you play in the Ozil role as Jack is out on loan?
Oh, yeah, so on from scapegoats onto Mesut Ozil, giving him a rest. Yeah, because we've got Ox out, but Ox, I never want to see playing centrally ever again. The guy needs to learn to be a winger. We keep messing with his brain by putting him in various places, and we'll end up with a Theo Slip situation in a couple of years' time where the guy just doesn't know where he wants to play. Rambo injured. It looks like maybe Iwobi. Iwobi can play at number 10. Or we change the system up a little bit, play Alexis there, bring in Giroud. That's the situation I'd go with. Alexis did well when we did that, a couple of years ago in the Champions League?
Can you see it happening?
We played Alexis behind Giroud. Can I see Mesut Ozil getting a little rest? He does look a little jaded.
Yeah. But is it
not necessarily tired?
When he's in contract with a new contract, would you risk annoying him?
I'd risk dropping him for Preston away and maybe Swansea.
I think you can get away with that.
Yeah.
Did he not have two full weeks off during the last international break that was supposed to recharge his batteries?
And he come back and he looked like he'd been down the kebab shop.
he was on a good roll before the Everton game. You know, I don't know what's happened to him. Another thing about Ozil as well. I mean, I'm like you guys. I'm a big fan of his, but his body language does in my head in sometimes. It's just, he's such a strange guy. He really is.
Yeah, I agree with that, but there are some great players that didn't have great body language. Like, I wouldn't say anybody would refuse to have people like Ronaldinho in their squad, because the guy was absolutely magical with the football.
Oh, yeah, genius.
Even to go to a certain extent of Dimitar Berbatov is the same kind of player.
That's right, yeah.
Great player. As well. Shame he played for Spurs and Man United, but the sentiment's still there. It's a guy who's got a languid persona. And to be fair, when they score worldies, the fact that they can keep a deadpan face and just walk off just makes it even better.
Yeah, because a lot of our fans were questioning Ozil's attitude on Twitter. That's fair enough. But you can't, again, like I said, you can't just have scapegoats. You know, you can't just blame one player. You got to look at the whole thing and put in perspective. But yes, he did have a poor game, but so did our players. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm going to rather scapegoat check the Ozil at the moment. Yeah. He's the current scapegoat, and I'd like to keep it that way.
Josh, you go and find a question for Mike while I read out a few of the comments. Rudy says, the Ox has given so many chances and he is not taking it. Everything says Giroud should never start that game again. And he'd like to see Lucas up front with Sanchez behind him. Paygo says, Ox is unlucky with injuries, which is very true.
Yep.
Neil says, Ozil is shitted. Straight to the Mr. Davis is here. He said Jesus wept. It's the end of the fucking
guy. That would be J-A-S-E, correct?
J-A-C-E, yes. Jace, if you've got any wise words, tie from me here and I'll read them out. And Andy H says, a good indicator of how shit we are, the number of passes between Ozil and Sanchez today. Well, I don't know what that was. And Rudy says, if you start Ozil, we play with 10 men. Oh, bloody hell. That's vicious. Oh, yeah. Mr. Welsh Justice has put, having a pop at Chechen.
Must mean Czech.
All right. I thought it meant Chechen, as in
Chechen rebels.
Europe. Yeah. Having a pop at Czech and after Ozil performance for the last few games is shocking. Well, they have been playing badly, Jace. Oh, dear. I can actually say that without even going, whoa, whoa, whoa. What are you saying? Oh, that sounded more like Charlotte Church than him. He didn't use the C word.
I mean, with all due respect to Ozil, I'm sorry, but no one will come close to this guy in a million fucking years. Nobody.
Guaranteed. Well, that's made Jason happy. Johnny
anyone
Moon.
Anyone who says Ozil's on his level is an idiot. I'm sorry.
Everything rude is baiting Jason by telling him Ramsey is shit. Oh, you got your Bergkamp book up. Andy H says, no combinations between Ozil and Sanchez at all. Bloody hell. Wasn't that long ago that we were saying, people were saying it's like a kind of telepathic communication between the two of them. Josh, have you got a question for Mike?
Yes. Oh. I'll go with one from the...
Is it who the fuck are you? Or...
You don't have to be ashamed to be on this show. We don't go out looking for the glory hunters.
Right. So because we haven't spoken about it at all, have the last two games shown that the Xhaka-Cock are not a viable pairing? What do you feel about the Xhaka-Cock?
The Xhaka-Cock. I think it's not time to quite pull the plug on that yet. I mean, what's the alternative at this exact moment?
Nene and Xhaka.
I've not been impressed with anything I've seen from Elneny in the last few times that he's come in.
He struggled.
I mean, he really is very one-dimensional. He's a sideways passing. He can stop players. I mean, he's fine on the defensive side of things, but I mean, if we have Kokalan and Xhaka, we've got two players that at least complement each other a little bit, whether they're in form and whether they're playing well today.
Yeah.
Not today. I mean, I still think that you got to stick with that. You can't. We were switching it around a lot earlier in the season, just from one pairing to another pairing to another pairing, and even though we weren't dropping games, it didn't look like they found their stride. And I think you got to keep some consistency there. So no, I don't think that they're not a viable pairing. I think they're perfectly viable, but they need to play a little bit better than they did today.
Tyrus just made a good point. He says, we watch Leicester City tear them down. Why can't we just put out a tactics of such?
Man City went out with a completely different formation against Leicester City.
Didn't they play
they played three at the back and played Sané at left wing back. We can't compare those two games. They're completely different.
Yeah.
Jason's put, Cock and Jack have played off the park two games on the trot. I think we've spoiled with so many choices in the middle, aren't we? Remember all those years when we haven't got a defensive midfielder now. You can say we've got Cork and Xhaka and maybe Elneny.
Because we were very short midfield after Alex Song left 4 years ago.
Who I read a tweet the other day that said on his last season he had 11 assists. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. Don't quote me on it, but. Wow, a defensive holding. He thought he was Pele though, didn't he? Constantly trying to go upfield. He's doing a bit like Cock does now. He's all over the bloody place. But 11 assists.
Yeah. Weren't most of his? I think most of his assists were to RVP that season.
That's right. Yeah, against Dortmund, I remember in the Champions League.
All of a sudden he was Iniesta.
I think Song would work in this system because we want our defensive midfielder to play higher up the pitch now. They want to destroy.
Where is he playing now?
Yeah, he's in Kazan, isn't it?
Apparently, Karan lost his
Cameroon team. In
there. That's nice. Blue tits or grey tits? This time of year, you have an abundance of choices. Rudy says our problem is wide players. We are not being dangerous from the wide areas. Occasionally we are. I mean, you look at the number of the Ox is having his best season goals wise when he's played mostly wide. Theo is having his best ever season and he plays wide. So it just seems to be sometimes we turn it on and they score lots, and then other times they just can't be bothered. I don't know. Have we got any more decent questions, Josh, before we wrap this shit up?
I'll have a look.
You have a little looky poo. This week, the podcast is going to be. Apparently, Gimli's coming back. Mm. He's been a busy man. He's managed to get his car fixed. It was his birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, you little gremlin shit. So, he's back on Thursday, but then he's having a break until the January transfer window again. So, he's just picking and choosing. So, it'll be nice to have him back. I'm not sure who else is going to be on. But
is there any point having you guys having a transfer discussion on deadline today? Would there been any point?
There hasn't been any point since the first one we did, but that's how we get you lot on to have a chit chat. So it's very little about transfer. Should we call it the non-transfer deadline day pods? Because there's no fucking transfers, especially in January. Nothing's going to happen. Have you found anything, Josh? No. You've gone very quiet.
I'm on mute. Give me a second. Okay. I got one, but go on it's not really a sensible one. I just got one from
good.
I got one from Josh Kakalakis. I don't know who it's aimed at, but he just asked who invited these two clowns.
We know who that's aimed at.
Well, I happen to be here, so it's me and one of you three.
Draw straws for it.
Hey Josh, love you.
Neil says Xhaka has stopped shooting. Yeah, I think most of them have stopped shooting.
They needed to have the ball in the second half so he could have a shot.
Yeah, but they didn't have a shot on target at all, on goal in the second half.
Our former footballers, but James Rodriguez might be up for sale. I know Wenger would never pay the price he'd go for, but that'd be a dream for me. I think they paid best part of €50 million, which is about £50 million at the moment. Can have a super agent as well. He's going to want another £50 million all by himself. What's this one? What do you think of the wing contract now? Oh, here we go. Johnny Moon. What do you do with Wenger? Wenger's contract, now the league has gone again. Bloody hell. I'll just go to one. I'll ask each of you. So, Mike, you go first, then Kyle, then Josh.
Again, before the game, the U.S. studio broadcast team was saying that the loser of this game was pretty much, in their mind, out of the league. I think it's kind of hard to argue against that right now. I mean, it's not over, but and in our case, if it was us, Wenger's future probably was hanging in the balance with this game. If that's the case, it's not looking so good for him right now. I mean, I don't know if his preference is to not leave until we win something, or if it's to just realize that it's not working out anymore and walk away quietly. But I mean, I'm starting to wonder whether his time has come or not. I'm not a Wenger out person, but you know, if guys can't get up for a game like this, and guys can't get up for a game like Tuesday, what is the reason for that?
Kyle, what do you think?
It's hanging by a thread at this point. I mean, we're 9 points behind Chelsea. We're in the same situation as we were against Leicester last season. It's questionable at this point. It depends how we get on till January, but it's not looking good right now.
I mean, it is a flat track coming up. I mean, we have a lot of games now that are winnable in a row, and
you know. Have you seen Chelsea's run though? It is almost identical. They're basically playing the same teams, bar they're playing Liverpool in that spell. Yeah. The only upside I would say is we've turned around bigger deficits than this to win the league with Arsene Wenger at the helm. Trying to remember back to when we turned over Man United,
wasn't it?
I think we were 13 points behind them.
Yeah,
maybe it was 11. It was just a two-team league, though, wasn't it? There was hardly any.
Yeah, it's true, but Man U still had to lose those games.
Yeah,
and that was a pretty awe-inspiring Man United
team. We have a squad that's capable of turning around? I mean, we do have a good team, but after that performance, I'm not so sure. I mean,
I'm pretty sure we're on a third or fourth defeat in 20 games, stretching back to last season. We've got a pretty decent record. This isn't a shit team. We're not Hull City.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm frustrated by it, because we've got such a good team and we just let ourselves down time and time again. It's sad.
The last time I felt this way was right after the, I think it was Swansea last March. We had just come out and lost to a Manchester United team that we should have beaten, given Marcus Rashford his start in the Premier League, and then came out a few days later and just, I think, lost at home, I believe, against Swansea. Yeah. And I'm thinking at this point, if he can't get the team up for games like this in March that matter, then maybe the time has come. And, you know, obviously that was, we've lost twice since then in 9 months. So I was proven wrong then. Sometimes our best runs come after times where you just think it's all headed downhill.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I holding on to that belief that maybe all of a sudden we're just going to rattle off 7, 8, 9 wins in a row, but I'd like to see a little bit.
I will say this, though. I do think there's still a lot of twists and turns going to happen in this Premier League. I still think it's possible that us, Liverpool, Man United, Man City, and Chelsea can all go for it until the end of the season. And I'd love to see that because, you know, that's what I want. I mean, yes, it's going to be hard. It's hard to win the Premier League. But I just want to see us give it a shot until the end of the season. And we've got a squad that's capable of that. And if we don't do that this season, the manager's got to be held accountable for that. Plain and simple, because we've got a great squad. It's our best squad in like 8 years.
It's every year, but he's never held accountable. Yeah. He just keeps going
on. It's ridiculous. It can't go on like this. You can't just keep fighting for top four and collapse for every March. It's not fucking good enough. You've got to be held accountable for that. I mean, I love the guy. Yeah, I love the man. He's a fantastic manager. But sometimes I just think to myself, maybe it's like come to the point now. Can he take us any further?
it's getting questionable at this point. You know, it's sad.
But as we saw with Josh's NFL team, he doesn't know how to sack a manager. Not that he'd ever do that.
Well, yeah. This one would cost him less as well.
Anyway, on that happy note, Mike, do you want to give a little plug for your podcast?
Sure. Thanks to Danny for having me on and inviting my clown self to the party. We do a podcast here based out of the U.S. called Gooners in USA. We've enjoyed kind of getting to know you guys over the last few months and doing the podcast. So it's just kind of a shit version of your podcast in a sense.
It's funny.
Just two idiots talking garbage with a little bit of Arsenal mixed in. So if you are inclined to check us out, please check us out. It's at Gooners in USA. At Gooners in USA.
Yes. Jolly good. Cheers, Mike.
And thank you, Dan.
That's okay. Carl, have you got anything to plug?
I'd just like to give a shout out to one of my followers, one of my friends that I speak to a lot. His name is Richard Welsh. He's a Richard Welsh 141. He's a diehard Arsenal fan, just like ourselves. Really good guy. Really, really good follower.
Yeah. Any relation
very rational like myself.
Our Mr. Welsh, the shit beard John?
No.
Probably for the best. And finally, Josh, any words of wisdom or anything you'd like to say before we go?
Have you been a good boy
this year?
Well, we'll see. Probably not. Going by some of the things in the chat box, probably not. So,
don't listen to him.
See you later.
I'm not going to look at the comments. No way.
Mostly, you three that are in there, fucking giving everyone who's on grief. So
by the way,
take no notice.
Yeah. I'd just like to say, I like to say something else. After the Everton game, I was on Instagram and I saw the Arsenal post about it. The comments I saw on that, I swear to God, man, I swear to God, it was one of the most disgusting shit I've ever seen. There was people saying they hope Wenger gets cancer. I mean, what the fucking fuck is that all about? Seriously.
Stuff they're saying to Wobin about Aaron Ramsey.
Yeah, Ramsey.
Those people.
Yeah, and there was one. Yeah, it's fucking disgusting. Slapped. Seriously, I mean, who are these people?
Well, honestly, they're cowards who wouldn't go and say it to the players' faces.
People who are happier when we're struggling because it validates their argument than when we're doing well.
You think they love it. Anyway, I'm trying to end this on a happy note. Thank you very much for joining us, Mike, Carl, and Josh.
Thank you.
I didn't say Carl. So
give
Carl
us a thumbs up.
It's okay.
Yeah. Right then, this has been a Birdcamp Wonderland. What has it been? It's the radio show. It's been a radio show. Never know. Chris might have his washing machine installed next time, so it'll be Chris hosting this again. Our next game is I had the bloody list of games up
West
now.
West Brom
on Boxing Day.
Boxing Day. God,
poor Brommies.
Yeah, West Brom on a bit of a run at the moment. So, it'll probably be Chris then, and God knows whoever's sober will be there with him. So, thank you very much for watching. And if you've liked this, give us a thumbs up. And if you've not liked it, we've been a Goonosphere. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Cheers.
Bye.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end, and you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down, I will make you hurt. wear this crown of thorns upon my liar's chair, full of broken thoughts I cannot repair. Beneath the stains of time, the feelings disappear. You are someone else. I am still right here. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away.